Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Mike's back.
Don't worry, I'm back.
Yay!
Still alive. Still a man.
He has a cake, a happy vasectomy cake in front of him, because apparently that's a thing now.
Tori, did you get that?
Vasectomy cake.
You're the best, T.
How do your balls feel, babe?
Happy vasectomy. You know, a little tender.
A little tender still.
Yep. But doing good. I'm physically wearing a jock strap right now.
So, true story. I just put down Jolie for bed, and I walk past our room, and I see him in, no joke, a jock strap, which just looks like a male thong. And right. I was just like, what are you?
But it doesn't go up your butt. It goes around your butt.
I know, but it's still. Like, right. So now you're like, butt cheeks are all. But I was like, what are you wearing? And he's like, it's a jock strap, babe.
Jock strap.
And I was like,
keep your boys nice and tight. Got to keep them.
Are you going to continue to wear a jock strap?
Well, I was texting some of my buddies. I was like, hey, this is kind of nice. Like, everything stays out of the way, up and out of the way, high and tight. And just, you know, then you just go about your business.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, that must be weird to have like saggy stuff down there.
Yeah.
Like when you're walking and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. A little empathy for the guys.
You don't understand what we deal with bat wings.
What's that?
Mike doesn't get them now that he's wearing a jock strap.
Does it like the ball stick to the side of your...
Sticks to the thighs, and I hate it. That's why I wear fairly tight briefs because of that. It drives me nuts, and I still deal with it.
Don't you use baby powder? Because I always see Mike like pour like a dozen... Yeah.
It's like a gallon of Gold Bond down there. Yeah.
More of a Johnson & Johnson's kind of guy.
Oh, I need a female in here because it's just real male right now with all these
right.
balls.
After that ladies episode last week, you talk about all those dreamy guys and potential hot nannies for women. Yeah, I was listening to the podcast. I didn't get through all of it yet, but I was listening to the part when Amy was talking about, what if Ryan Reynolds was, you know, your trainer or nanny or whatever, and Jana's just like, I was like, yeah, honey? Hide it a little bit more.
No, I just couldn't, you know, come up with the words to properly say.
Right. It's okay. I would have said the same thing. If someone said one of those two guys was my trainer or nanny, I'd be like, I. So we'd have the same reaction.
Oh, man. Speaking of all that stuff, though, I'm just going to wrap that part up. Michael was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm in like a war right now with hot nannies all over the world. The hot nannies unite. Even our nanny in Nashville was like, is this something I need to be worried about? And then one of my other Brit, she's like, was I ugly? I was like, oh my God. Oh, no, yeah. I was like, Brittany, no. I was like, and I've literally had to text all our past nannies and be like, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. I think you're beautiful. So, I mean, it really backfired. I mean, a lot of times on the show, I like to start conversations, and that's an interesting conversation. But also because, you know, what works for me might not work for everyone else, but apparently I was offending a lot of the hot nannies saying, you know, I'm women in the workplace and they're getting, it was just very.
And when you were bringing that to me and let me know when you were texting so intently.
I was having like a DM war, and I'm not going to name her because I think she just wants the attention.
Yeah. No, don't care that satisfaction. Yeah. The thing is, when you're telling me about it, I'm like, it's just being professional. That's all it is. You wouldn't show up to any other job interview or post a picture for your resume, which, you know, some resumes nowadays, people might put up like a picture. You wouldn't post a picture with your stuff hanging out.
But here's where she says, because I have big boobs, like that's just how you're discriminating women. I was like, no. I'm actually not discriminating. Like, you need to dress for the part. If a guy wore if he had a shirt off and he came to an interview.
Right. Unprofessional.
Or if he was, you know, I mean, not even a shirt off, because like your boobs can show. But if you're wearing a lace, literally nothing else. A barely tank top. I'm like, I just think you need to dress for the part. It's not about saying I don't think boobs and women's rights and everything else. I don't know. Mark, what do you think?
I agree completely. Professional is the answer. You don't need to be in an apron and a hairnet. Professional look is what we're looking for.
That's all it is.
Because otherwise, you might have ulterior motives.
Right.
But she was like, just because I have big boobs doesn't mean that I want to blah, blah, blah. And like, if my boobs might be flapping around because I wear... I'm like, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, the first... interview and meeting, I just think that you should dress more appropriately.
Right.
Regardless
of whether you have big boobs or not, there's still a way to dress professionally. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But then you have to have a talk with her. Let's say she dresses professionally, uh-huh. and you hire her, mm-hmm. and then she shows up for work, and after a couple of weeks, she gets more comfortable, and she starts showing up in a crop top and jean shorts, and all of a sudden, now we have to have a talk.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, one of our nannies, like, she had her boobs out a lot, and again, it's fine. Like, I was fine with
Who?
It.
Ow.
I love Mike pretending he doesn't know who you're talking about.
I actually did. Who's the actor in this family? Thank you very much.
But I don't care because she loved her kids. You know, at the end of the day, it's not about, and she was beautiful. Like, it's, I just was more trying to have a conversation about it. And it's not that I don't trust my husband, and it's not that I'm not for women's rights and letting boobs hang out. It's fine. But whatever, I can still have my opinion and still spark a conversation. But really, like, the Hot Nannies USA is real have an issue. Right. And to the point where I was fearful that we were going to lose the nanny we just hired in Nashville because I didn't want her to think that we thought she was ugly or, because that's not the case. She's beautiful. She's right for our family, right. And she's going to love our kids. And that's what matters at the end of the day. Because here's what I was saying too, is at the end of the day, if my husband or if I'm going to cheat, we're going to cheat no matter what someone looks like. End of the day, no matter what they're wearing, no matter how they dress, no matter what they look like, if you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat.
It's just removing, like we've said numerous times on here, like Mark said, you know, putting the meat in the cage, but it's just removing scenarios. That's why it's like the whole concept of, you can never say never, really. Because under the right circumstance, who knows what people might do.
Yeah.
Right. You're saying, you know what I mean? Like the analogy we use was don't put meat in the lion's cage. But the truth is, if you're married to a lion, he's going to find meat somewhere. That's
exactly
what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're just going to find it. I mean, you know, I look back on, not to bring it up, but like some, like, they weren't pretty because it wasn't about them being pretty. It was about him meeting his needs.
Right.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Well, that's another issue.
Yeah.
So when somebody cheats, do you factor in whether or not they're better looking than you?
And 100%. I looked at every single one of the women that he was with, and I was like,
honestly, majority of the time, from my personal experience and just experience in general, men cheat down.
I have actually heard that as well.
They cheat down.
Which is an interesting phenomenon.
Which is so crazy because I'm like, wait, I'm prettier than, I don't understand.
For the partner, for the woman, I can understand why that would be even more, because then I could see in a woman's head, if they try to justify somehow, well, she is really pretty. You know, I could see the temptation. But when you cheat down, it's like, what is it?
But
that's what it's about. That's what I'm saying to the core is it's not about what someone looks like. If you're going to cheat, you're going to cheat.
Right.
Why is that? Why do men cheat down?
Because they don't.
Are those the women that are available at the moment the need arises?
Oh, are we going to get backlash on this? Are any of his affairs going to be like, oh, so you didn't think I was pretty? Like, Jesus.
That's looking for the show next week. Here's a stupid question. Would it have been any easier if they were supermodels? Like, holy crap, would you have said, well, I can't say I blame him?
It all sucks.
Of course.
That
it wouldn't have made much difference.
I could see that, but also could even hurt self-esteem that much more. Right?
I will say, but it doesn't matter because for me, a lot of the women had like larger boobs. So my insecurity, so now probably a good year and a half after everything, I would make sure my boobs were up and more because I thought that's like what he wanted because that's what I saw. But
which isn't again, at all it's, what I actually want.
I know, but you know what I mean? It was the what was like sexing that moment, blah, 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 whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where us women go is we then start to compare and want to kind of morph into what they had. And it's so wrong because it's not about what they look like, how big their boobs are, anything like that. It's just filling a need for them. So anyways, we got a little off topic. But
no, I mean, that's a good topic though.
Is it? Is it really?
It's not a good topic, but it's a, you know, conversational topic.
Only 25% of men who have cheated say their mistresses were better looking than their wives.
Wow.
For women, they say that their husbands are often better looking, but their mistresses are usually in better shape.
Ooh. Oh, 100%. That does not surprise me. Man, I need to start working out more.
No, honey. Because again, you know that's not for me, and he knows this too. For me, it would be an emotional affair. That's where I would go if we ever, you know, God willing, that doesn't ever happen. But
God forbid.
God forbid, that's the thing.
God willing that ever happened.
God forbid, because that's where I can fall into. That's where I have to set healthy boundaries.
Right.
I have found that my wife and I have been together 22 years. If I cheated, and she's been clear about this from the beginning, if I cheat, it's over.
Really?
It's done. Goodbye. But I feel like if she cheats on me, I feel like we could make it work, because I feel like if she cheats, it means she's really not getting something she needs from me. I am not meeting a long list of needs for her to go elsewhere, because she is not the type to just be like, to just jump on somebody else, where men are jumpers sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, men will just give into the impulse.
Yeah.
Where women, it's more of a deep emotional thing.
Yes.
And maybe that's sexist, and I'm sorry if it's stereotypical.
No, it's not.
But
it's
I feel like if she were to cheat, if I cheat, it's my fault. If she cheats, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Glad we're clear about that.
We are joined now by Katie Provenziano, the managing director of Westside Nannies.
Oh, God. Are you serious?
I am serious.
Really?
Yeah. Katie is her name. Here we go.
I didn't know we had a guest.
I think this is kind of last minute.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Katie.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. I hear you're talking about Hot Nanny.
Yeah, this has been... It turned
I
into
was
a
trying
big...
to wrap it up, but I guess we'll circle
We're diving back in.
So you own a nanny agency?
I do. I own Westside Nannies. We're based in Los Angeles. So we work with families primarily here in the Los Angeles area, but also across the country if needed.
So I guess one of the main backlashes I had was I was talking about, because we were trying to find a nanny and we used one of the website nanny outlets. And I had made a comment about how they had like the perky boobs up and, you know, that the wives are hiring. And I got major backlash because people are like, well, women are like, you know, I have boobs and I should be able to show my boobs. And what my husband and I are saying is we just think that for an interview, you should be a little bit more
professional.
Well, I would agree with you. And we see those pictures too. You'd be amazed at what Danny sent in when they're applying for a job. But I think for us, it's not about whether someone has boobs or not. I mean, we all do, right?
Right.
It's about good judgment and self-awareness and professionalism and how you're presenting yourself for a job. And I think those things are two very different things. So it's not that, oh, this nanny is hot, you know, that's a turnoff. It's that, well, if she chose to use this photo of herself to apply for a professional job, any job, whether it be a nanny job or another, that shows a lack of good judgment. And good judgment is really important when you're hiring a nanny.
I agree. Have you ever had any wives like say, you know, what's around that? Like, what if they are dressed inappropriately? Like, do you talk to them or how does that work?
Well, we get requests, you know, every single day from moms, and you'd be surprised. The requests go both ways. I mean, for every request that we have from a mom that tells us, you know, I don't want someone too pretty, we also get the request the other way around where a parent will say, hey, we need someone who can fit in at the country club or go to a star-studded event and not be an outsider, or, you know, we don't want a nanny who's overweight, or we don't want this or that. We even had a mom recently tell us that, you know, my three-year-old seems to be more attracted to blondes, so we'd like a blonde nanny. I mean, we hear it all.
Oh, wow.
But our response to that, of course, is, you know, those things shouldn't matter. First of all, they're protected characteristics. You actually can't discriminate based on what someone looks like or the color of their skin or any of those things. But it really comes down to, is someone a great nanny? And that comes down to experience, references, education, someone's personality, and why they really want to work in this field.
So I have a question, Katie. And this, you know, again, I'm trying to, I feel like maybe this field, like nannying, is a little bit more personal because of the interaction and the relationship.
We're taking care of our children.
Right. So it's a little bit more personal and connected. But still, like for any job out there, you know, you got to dress the part. You got to be professional, and the employer can hire whoever they want. And they might have their, you know, kind of mindset on the kind of person they want down to the fact of maybe how they look or how they present themselves and so on. So when it comes to something like nannying, I mean, I feel like people still have the right to, I guess, ask those questions and make those requests, right?
They can ask them, but they may not be right. And a lot of times they're going after the wrong thing. And what we try to do is really reframe that to be something that's positive. Well, we're not going to discriminate based upon those factors, but we do really want to understand what the family is hoping for. What are the qualities that they're looking for and what is leading to that request? But I think you brought up a good point that I really want to touch on where you said this is a really personal job. It's, you know, it's different than your everyday job. And I would agree with you to an extent. I think that's where a lot of problems happen is because parents do feel like, oh, this is my home. You know, this is so personal. It is a personal job. And so boundaries can sometimes fall to the wayside. And that's not just on the nannies, and that's also on the parents' end. And what I think parents don't totally realize or comprehend, which is something we try to educate our clients about, is the moment you hire a nanny, you become a workplace.
Right.
So you, it may be your home, but it's her workplace. And so you have to have boundaries too. So that means, you know, you guys can't be walking around in your underwear as if it were your own home, like you were someone's workplace. So you kind of have to have some boundaries for your own home too. And then you can absolutely have her have boundaries as well. So for example, there is appropriate dress code at work. Like your nanny should not be wandering around in hot pants or bikini. That's not appropriate for the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so the nanny you hire, they are role models for your children, so you can have boundaries, and you should. Just like a nanny shouldn't really be talking about her date last night or her night clubbing on Friday, you also shouldn't be talking about the fight you just had with your spouse or, you know, any kind of those personal things. It does need to remain professional and really about the kids.
I have a question. That's a very good point, by the way. I love all of that. When it comes to healthy eating habits, what if, I'm not saying, you know, we don't know what, we just hired a new nanny in Nashville, but we've had a previous nanny where just eating habits weren't that good. And I've seen it maybe, how do I say that? Reflect now on our daughter, what she might think a snack is. Mm-hmm. And how do we say without hurting the nanny's fault and being like, hey, you know, this is what we need to feed our child in the house. And, you know, we're not going to go to donut shops. And that's just...
Right. And in particular, what Jana's trying to beat around the bush is, say the nanny is a little bit more overweight, which there's no discrimination here, but maybe their eating habits aren't very healthy. But we want to make sure that our kids are experiencing the eating habits that we want for them and that Jana and I practice.
Sure. I think it just comes back to the job that you're hiring someone for. And really, whether or not a nanny is overweight or not, doesn't mean she can't teach your children about nutrition and cook healthy meals for them. And so it's less about her own eating habits and more about what you need in your role. And so I think when you're interviewing nannies, and it sounds like you hired someone, but if you were interviewing with us, we would say talk to everyone about that in the interview. Talk about how nutrition is important to your family and talk about what that looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get this job, you know, these are the things we'd like you to cook. I'd like you to be able to cook organic, healthy meals that are well-rounded. And I'm hoping that when you're working here, you can partake in the meals that you cook as well. But we just want to show them and demonstrate healthy eating habits to the kids, which I'm a mom too. That's super important. And definitely a point that I talked about with my own nanny. So I think just, again, reframing it. It's not about them. They're not causing any one thing or the other. It's what are they going to do in their role and what do you expect on the job? And your nanny should be able to fulfill those, or she's not the right one.
Absolutely. I love that. And one more question before we wrap up, Katie. Jana and I, we've had a few nannies in the past, and we had a tendency where we would hire somebody we kind of had a prior relationship with. That started as more of a friend. So definitely we had an issue with the kind of the boundaries in that, like you talked about, like our house being a workplace. And we've tried to, you know, we have a new nanny in Los Angeles. We just hired a new one for Nashville when we moved back there. And we really made a point to touch on the things that you're talking about and be, you know, on the front end, kind of discuss the things that we've learned that we need or want them, you know, for our kids to be exposed to and so on. What kind of advice though? Because Jana and I are very personable, very affectionate people who we want people, whether they work for us or not, we want them to feel comfortable. We want them to feel kind of like part of the family and talk to us about life in general, because we just love talking and hearing about their life, and we want, you know, them to be willing to share and everything like that. So what advice would you give, you know, people like Jan and I who have a hard time ourselves kind of sticking to those boundaries of employee-employer relationship?
I think it can be hard. I think it's something that like everyone struggles with, to be honest. And it is this fine line that you need to figure out exactly where it is for you. But I do think that, you know, the way to start off a new relationship, and I would encourage you to do this for the nanny that you just hired, is to have what we call it a work agreement, but it's a contract. And that's where you really spell out kind of, this is what we expect of you, and this is what we're going to give you in return. And, you know, you need to be paying your nanny legally. You need to make sure that she has, you know, that she's treated like a professional as well. And then I think you will get that back. But really putting out your expectations and then maintaining that. I think sometimes feel like, oh, she's just part of the family. And yes, that's true. But I think, again, those boundaries can go out the window. Oh, she's just part of the family. Well, she wouldn't mind working on her day off, or she wouldn't mind doing this or that. And everything gets a little fuzzy. And I think that you do, as much as you want someone to feel part of the family, you can feel that way. Think back to a great job you had where you really had an affinity towards your employer and where it felt like a great fit, but you still knew it was a job and it's still professional. And I think that goes both ways. And so if families will set up a contract in the beginning, paint out the expectations, pay their nanny legally and professionally, you know, give her vacation, make it feel more like a job for her, I think that goes a long way in making sure that that behavior is also modeled back. And you just can't talk about everything that you would naturally. Some things need to be reserved for, you know, the bedroom when you have an employee working in your home, because you just can't talk about everything as you would if no one was there.
Yeah. Boom. Well, thank you so much. And what's the name of your agency again in L.A.?
Well, Westside Nannies.
Westside Nannies. Okay.
In L.A. or even in Nashville, you let us know. We'd be happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. That was really good advice.
It was. You're scared at first to have to discuss more nanny stuff.
I was, just because I'm so terrified that our new nanny's going to listen to this and I don't want her to quit, because I really like, I quit before she starts because I really like her.
It's not about beauty, though. It's about... Like, you could have a lovely nanny,
yeah. But
there are certain women that might be more, I don't know, putting it out there, like we said before. It's just, not saying that you can only hire butt ugly nannies. That's nonsense.
Right. Regardless, someone's going to take this the wrong way.
I'm sure.
There's no saving
face. I didn't realize that no matter what I say, someone's going to be offended by something that I say.
Always. You're a public figure.
But it's frustrating because, and then everyone's like, why do you comment on the negative? Because I really don't want to offend people. That's not...
No, but you don't have a problem stirring up which I love. Because not a lot of people, you know, so many people are too politically correct.
Yeah.
And don't call it like they see it.
Well, I don't know. I don't like to ever offend anyone. So
their own issue for taking offense.
So before we talk on to the next, before we go to the next subject, we're going to take a quick break.
OpenFit takes all of the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. So it's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your living room.
There are so many amazing trainers and classes. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the world. Sculpt your body with someone like Andrea Rogers, who's the founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar.
So it's super simple. Forget all the complexity and stress around getting fit and just press play and work out on your schedule. So OpenFit has changed the way I work out. And with our code JANA, you can join me on a fitness journey personalized just for you. No matter how many seconds in the day that you have, you can find OpenFit. Again, use our code JANA and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier life.
Right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners get a special extended 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit, where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text JANA to 303030.
You will get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts, nutrition information, totally free. So again, just text JANA to 303030.
So I feel like we are in the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, where Kate Hudson's character says, I want to talk about something meaningful. Sometimes when we get these breakdowns about some of the topics for the show, for some of the shows, Mike's like, I want to talk about politics. And
well, it's just funny because you get some of these things, some of the hot topics in society at the moment, and some of it just seems so petty. And you're just like, really, this is what we're talking about? And having a platform like this, I made the joke to Janet, you realize you do want to talk about things that are meaningful, and we want that for our listeners because they can go read about, like, we're about to talk about Danny Amendola and Olivia Culpo for a minute. that whole situation. So people, there's a million other places people can go. They can read any tabloid magazine. They can go online and see any article. Don't come here to, we don't want them to come here to listen to that. We're going to give our 2 cents in a minute.
Well, we're going
to
talk about it right now.
So regardless, we're going to talk about it right now.
Because just in case if you do want the hot topics. So I don't really know. Apparently they broke up. He wrote this long Instagram. You still have a cough, by the way?
Allergies.
Okay. This long Instagram about her. Would you like to preface some of this, babe?
I mean, look, from my point of view, people who have followed this know what he said on Instagram. And then the fact that he...
Well, he basically said...
Miscommunication, my ass. He said what he said. He was either drunk or just angry and typed away. And here's the deal. I don't understand. They've been on and off for a couple of years or whatever it is. I don't know their whole history. But Olivia Culpo has clearly been a climber. She's dated.
You're going there.
I am. I mean, look at her dating history. She's dated Tim Tebow. She's dated Ryan Lochte. She dated Nick Jonas. She dated Danny. She dated, now she's talking to, you know, Zed. And who else? I mean, the list goes on and on.
So are you saying she's famous for dating celebrities?
What else has
like
she
that's
done?
Her thing. I will say, just to defend that point, in his thing, Danny said that she got upset that he wouldn't post a lot about her. So clearly she wanted to be in so the she, public eye.
Exactly.
With him to be like, oh, I'm, you know, with this football player.
Right.
Which then makes sense to your point. But who knows? Because we don't have her side of the story. But I can see why you think that she's a social climber.
I mean, how can she just... She just happened to date all these famous people?
Well, you run in those circles.
Right. And yes, I understand that. When you're in those circles, the people they introduce you to is probably someone of celebrity as well. But, I mean, what
it's
did
he... It's the fact that he said, you know, she was always upset for me for not posting about her on the page. Which, you know, whether he's more private, that's fine. But clearly she doesn't want the privacy. She wants to be more out there in the celebrity
But I will say... Any relationship, whether it's a public one like this or even a private one of people who aren't celebrities, there's some people that, you know, are like, hey, why aren't you posting about me? Mm-hmm. Why aren't you posting a picture on Facebook or social media? So regardless of celebrity or not, I've experienced and seen people like that where they want to be, you know, part of your life more and post more and all that.
Yeah, some people are more private, but let's spin it because some people... don't post because they probably want to look available.
Oh, for sure.
So I know there's some people that they're like, oh, well, he's an artist and he doesn't need to post a photo of me. And it's like, guy artists don't need to have that persona.
No.
That's so out the window. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
He's not just posting you because of that.
No one.
He wants to look available for not the right reasons.
If anything,
record label or TV show is not going to hire a guy because he has a girlfriend or a wife.
If anything, I feel like nowadays people are becoming more marketable because of a relationship they have.
Yeah.
Except for maybe some of these reality stars who can find themselves in the public more frequently if they're dating somebody new, like if they're serial daters, i.e. Olivia Culpo.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's just like who cares? Honestly,
I will
cares?
Say it's harder for women though. I mean, there's so many times where I felt like I had to look available because, you know, someone might not hire you, which is so screwed up. And I'm glad it's changing. But I can see for the girl how it can be hard. But for the guys, I'm like, guys have it like so easy.
Why?
Because it's fine if you have a girlfriend or a wife. I mean, look at all the country artists and celebrities. They don't need to have that magnet. You're still like a magnet, even if you have a relationship.
But so you're saying a female artist isn't as marketable?
For sure. I had to hide in the very beginning. I had to hide that I didn't have a boyfriend because I was supposed to look more available. That was something that was verbally told to me by my first manager.
What I don't understand about that is...
But a guy could have a relationship.
What I don't understand is country fans. I mean, I would love to know the ratio of female to male. Primarily female.
Yeah.
Right. So why would it matter?
It's just the old skew thinking.
Right.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Well, that's dumb. Anyway, this whole situation, I don't want to spend any more time on it. Yep.
Let's take a break.
Yeah.
All right. So I honestly loathe perfume shopping. I don't know. I just feel like it's super overwhelming and I don't want to commit to a $200 bottle.
And I feel like anytime I've gotten you something, I've missed.
Well, no, I like the one thing you got me. But that's, I don't know, true. With Sunbird, it's super easy because you can basically... Okay, I'll say this. There's more than 450 designer brands for you to choose a perfume or cologne from each month. So basically, you can do Tom Ford, Gucci, Versace, and it's good for a month. So you don't have to commit to the big bottle. That's the thing. Like, Mike, I liked what you've gotten me, but I just feel like I don't know if I want to commit to, like, the juicy smell, like, the entire, like, right. But because, you know, 5 years.
Because of Scentbird... We can just choose the perfume that you want to try, and they'll send a 30-day supply that has 120 sprays in it.
Yeah, it's so great. So, I mean, that's basically like a month for me. It's enough to apply more than 4 times daily for a month. So with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. So you go to scentbird.com/Jana and use our code Jana for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's Scentbird, S-C-E-N-T, BIRD.com/Jana for you to try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50. Sign on and smell amazing.
Interesting topic. Did you know actually that the benefits of your husband's gas can help you live longer? So the study found that the stinky byproduct most wives hate could actually reduce the risk of cancer, heart attacks, strokes, arthritis, and dementia. According to other research, marriage is an important factor affecting the survival of heart attack patients too, which means even if you're already suffered health issues, his finest farts could actually keep you alive, kicking and sharp. I mean, that is the silliest thing I've ever read.
We're just reaching, man. Society is just reaching to find anything.
Yeah, your fart will give me a longer life, babe.
Yeah, that's going to be, yeah, you're welcome. I'm going to start saying you're welcome. Instead of excuse me, I'm going to say, honey, you're welcome every time
you fart. Now, you're welcome. Here's a longer life.
Let me print out the article that proves I'm saving your life right here.
We have a lot of emails today.
Oh, will you read some, Mark?
I'd love to. Victoria has a question about your tattoos, Mike.
Okay.
She says, I love listening to your podcast and following Jana on social media. And through Jana's videos on Instagram, I have seen the slow progression of Mike's tattoos. Is there a story or a reason in Mike's decision to pick some of the tattoos he did? Is there a significance in getting them in this time of Mike's self-reflection? Thank you all so much for all you
Great
guys
question.
Do and talk about.
Nope, I just like them. No, I'm just kidding. No, Victoria. Yeah, there is significance to everything. It's a sleeve in progress. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a full sleeve, and everything I have is meaningful. You know, and then people have seen I have both kids' handprints on my forearm, mm-hmm. with clocks in the time that they're born.
Oh, nice.
Which the tattoo artist screwed it up.
Oh, so, no.
He put the wrong time.
He put the wrong time.
Oh, jeez.
He put, because he kind of did the clock like sideways, and he put 4:06 as opposed to 4:01.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's only off by a few minutes.
It's only 5 minutes.
Could have been worse.
Yeah, but still, it's not the actual date or the time that our daughter was born.
Yeah, that's why I go to a new artist now. So.
And then he also has a face, but it's all about like everything means something. So the trees mean what?
Trees are like forthrightness, honesty, you know, which is how I'm trying to live my life nowadays and everything. And then the roses is symbol for new beginnings, which, as you guys know, Jana and I are having. And then I have Jana's beautiful face on my shoulder.
But right now I look like a 6-year-old man because it's not finished. So there's that. So, and then he's, you know, got kind of hairy arms. So I'll look at my goodness. Face. And I'll be like, I have a hair growing out of my chin. I have to pull my hair chins anyways, but now I have to pull my hair chins off my face on your arm.
Every time I take my shirt off, Jana's like, can you please next session work on my face?
Yeah.
And get that done because I want to look more pretty.
Can we see that? Because I'm curious. Or is it not, you don't want to show it till it's done?
I look like a 6-year-old woman on his arm.
This doesn't look that bad.
It does, babe.
All right, let's see. Here we go.
It's coming off. The shirt is coming off.
He's wearing a long sleeve sweatshirt.
Okay, wait, I'm going to document this so I can Instagram story this.
Looks like he has a... Oh, sleeveless please. T-shirt on under it, so it'll be oh wow I think it's lovely.
Yeah,
What? So are they going to add color to it, or what are they going to add?
No color, but he's got to shade it to make it look more vibrant and make it pop and just don't, so it doesn't look so aged.
And what is she doing in that picture? Because it looks like her eyes are closed.
I'm praying.
She's in deep.
Well, I thought maybe you were like singing into a microphone from the original picture they took it from.
No, that I don't know why they closed my eyes.
Because I have, it was kind of a mix between this inspirational picture that I have, that's not Jana, and then of a tattoo, and then a picture of Jana. So we're kind of marrying the two together.
But his tattoo artist, he ended up changing because he didn't like the tattoo artist guy. So now we have a new one, and.
Yeah, it's more expensive, and
the new one has to finish the old one's work. Is that a weird conflict in the tattoo world?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I went into this shop, which is a well-known shop in Los Angeles, I mean, the guys I talked to first were like, "Are you willing to get any of that lasered off?" And I looked into it, and that would have been like $3,500 to $4,000, and would take like 2.5 years. Jeez. So I'm like, I'm good.
2.5 years.
So, I mean, because the work's not bad. It's just not as creative as I had hoped on some things. Mm-hmm. And to give them a clean, you know.
Canvas.
But this guy's been great that I'm working with. And
is it Bang Bang? I hear good things about Bang Bang.
It's not Bang Bang.
Okay.
But this guy's great that I'm working with. And he's been willing to kind of take what I already have and make it better.
Hey, do you want to read the email from Ashley?
I do, actually.
I love the title.
This is interesting. Ashley says, I just recently ended my 4-year relationship and engagement with my partner because he is a sex and porn addict. It's been almost 2 months and I find myself doubting my decision a lot. He did tell me in the beginning that he was an addict and he was in counseling. At the time, I was pretty naive to what a sex addict was and honestly never thought he would do anything to hurt me. But over the 4 years, he stepped out of our relationship twice, received inappropriate photos, had inappropriate conversations, and was consistently active watching porn. Through this time, he would be in and out of counseling and groups. The most recent boundary he crossed was messaging a girl he frequently sees at the gym and complimenting her inappropriately on her body. I was tired of putting myself back together. I called off our wedding, which was only a few months away, and moved to another state. But lately, I find myself doubting my decision. How do you feel confident in knowing that's something you can do?
That sucks. I think doubting yourself is the worst thing, but if you can say that you've tried everything, then I think that's easier to not doubt yourself. So I knew that I would always doubt myself to be like, would Mike have changed? And I would never have known that if I didn't try. Now, again, if Mike knows that if he steps out or, you know, we're done, because there's so much I can personally take. Physically, personally, like I, there's only so much like we can handle. And so if it continues to happen, even though I know that Michael is an addict and there's that possibility, he has to do his work of staying in recovery and staying in his boundaries and his work. So if it were to happen, me leaving, I could rest knowing that I did everything I could possibly do. So you might be having that doubt because maybe somewhere inside you don't think that you maybe fought as hard as you should have. So maybe that's where the doubt is coming from. Because I would have had that same doubt if I divorced Mike when I found out about everything. I would have had that doubt being like, I wonder if he could have changed. I wonder if we could have made it work.
I think he did the work. I think it's hard for people in general to think back on something and really be confident knowing that they gave it everything they have. I feel like it's easy for people to justify it. Well, maybe I could have done a little bit more.
I disagree with you, because if you did something right now, I would divorce you.
Yeah.
And then been like, I did everything.
Right.
And have zero.
I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying I feel like some people, it's easy, especially in the aftermath, like after some time has passed, like you made the decision, you're lonely and you're contemplating
your life. Well, that's the thing,
too.
I think she might be lonely.
Right. And you're just kind of like, well, did I really do everything? You know? And I mean, I know I do that in my life, whether it's my football career or other things. I'm like, did I work as hard as I could? And then I try to remind myself, yeah, I did, you know, but it's still hard, especially with something that was so meaningful for you, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, no matter what it is. I mean, you know, she says that at the beginning of the relationship, he disclosed to her that he was an addict.
Yeah.
And that was 4 years ago. So you know, the biggest reason we've been able to reconcile and continue to make this work is because you've seen change.
Mm-hmm.
We both have.
Mm-hmm.
In ourselves and in one another and in our relationship. So after 4 years, if she's not seeing that change and he's still doing things like that, he's clearly not doing the work.
Right.
Whether he's in groups or going to meetings, if he's still doing that, he's not really in recovery. So, I mean, I think that answers her question,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. And hopefully you can rest in that knowing, because if he's not doing the work and staying in active recovery, then that's going to be impossible for you to continue on in a healthy relationship together.
Yeah.
So you can just be like, all right, like he couldn't do the work and you tried.
Yeah.
That's my two cents.
I agree.
Clearly it was not a spur of the moment decision. 4 years. You
were going right. Like right. You did this not, for 4 years.
Yeah. And good on you for making that hard decision, you know, a few months before the wedding.
And the point you brought up, I think, is the key point of this is don't confuse doubts with loneliness, because mm-hmm. if you move to another mm-hmm. state, you're spending a lot of time by yourself, yeah. I assume, and so you're missing him,
yeah.
and that's normal. That doesn't mean that you made a mistake here.
Exactly. And also, the second that you do find someone else, you're going to be like, oh wow, okay,
oh yeah,
I never realized it could be like this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kristen's email is interesting as well. I've never heard this issue before. I can honestly state I'm really struggling in my marriage right now. My husband's sister has this weird obsession with him, and she's constantly needing his help for anything and everything. She's extremely clingy to him, and from the outside looking in, she acts like she's his wife. The last straw was when she went and had a boudoir photo shoot and sent him, her own brother, the
Stop.
Pictures, asking him what he thought. He agrees that wasn't right, but he won't tell her that she's too clingy and obsessive with him. I don't know where to go from here. I've tried to talk to him about it, but nothing ever comes of it. Please help. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I want to know where they're from.
Can you? Oh, geez. Can someone explain to me exactly a boudoir photo shoot? Anyone?
I think it's a lingerie shoot.
Basically, yes, it's a lingerie shoot, but it's typically done for your partner, right? It's done. Maybe you're engaged. Okay. Maybe you're about to have a baby. Maybe you're thinking of having a baby, so you want to kind of preserve things. Mm-hmm. It's something for your. I think it's usually a gift for your partner.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's not, although Tanya was considering doing it just for herself.
I know what I'm getting Jana for Mother's Day.
Boudoir translates to woman's private dressing room en français.
Oh.
So what's the male version? No?
Locker room.
Cool.
So she took lingerie photos of herself. I don't think they're too revealing. I don't think they're typically nude photos.
Right. No, they're just like real like stringy.
Yeah. So she's in a lingerie and she sends it to her own brother.
I
says, what do you think?
Never.
Oh my gosh.
Like I love my brother. But I would never send him.
I would throw up in my mouth.
I mean, if Tara sent you lingerie photos. Not because she's not beautiful,
no,
but that's
just
disgusting.
My sister's gorgeous, but I'm, yeah. No. No. No.
I don't even know how to answer this because I can't relate to it. I think that's.
No, she's right. It's wrong.
Well, and he thinks it's wrong too, right?
Yeah, so he needs to tell her, stop, weirdo.
But he's not doing it. She keeps bringing it up and nothing ever comes of it.
That's just weird.
Well, I mean, do you think like maybe they have feelings for each other?
Stop.
I mean,
this isn't Game of Thrones.
Is that happening on Game of Thrones? No, but
oh,
I'm saying, I mean,
Jana. Our sweet Jana.
I don't watch Game of Thrones. But I mean, you never know. I mean, there's if I sent lingerie photos to my brother Steve, he would be like, "What the F is wrong with you? That's disgusting."
Right.
So, but because he's not saying anything, maybe he's got the hots for his sister.
Should Kristen go directly to the sister and have a talk with her, or does that just blow it all up?
If her husband can't, then I would.
So maybe 100%. She says to her husband, I need you to address this, and if you don't,
and if not,
I will.
I will. Yes.
Yes.
I think that's
great advice.
I don't know if it is or
Come
not.
To Mike and Jana and Mark. Mike, Jana, and Mark, and we'll give you, and then Easton for any, what's that called? What you just did. Translation. Tips. Oh my goodness. Let's take a break. Oh, I have a fun game we can play.
Okay.
So Mike and I like to do this thing. I don't know if it's actually a smart thing to do, but we've been able to kind of talk about our issues in a funny way. Again, don't listen to us. This might not work. This might,
in a
not
funny
be,
way?
Yeah, this might not be therapeutic, but sometimes what I'll say to him, if there's something bothering me, I'll say, tell me one thing that I'm doing that bothers you. So then I can then tell him the one thing that has been bothering me. So it's just a good way to not be passive in, you know, in conversation, but also learn something that maybe I might be doing that's annoying him. So let's play the game right now. Darling, is there anything that I'm doing that is bothering you lately?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
What you did yesterday.
What I do? Oh, yeah.
So Jana goes, we brought this leather couch from our garage into the house because we wanted to clean it, and then like we needed to like refinish it and everything because we want to move back to Nashville.
We want to, or we are?
We are.
Okay.
And so basically we need some, you know, stuff to refinish the couch, and we get the wrong stuff. So Jana's like, all right, well, do you mind researching so you can find like what you want to use? I was like, yeah, I'll research it. And then as she says that, she's like, look on her phone. She's like, well, here's one. And she's like, oh, actually, you just research it. I'm like, yeah, I told you, I'll research it. 2 minutes later, she's like, you know what? I'm just going to get this one. It says it's the best on Amazon. Like, I'm just going to get it. And I'm just like, okay. I'm like, why did you tell me to research it? And I told you I'll take care of it when you're just going to do it right now. Like, what? Because
first of all, oh, I'm sorry that bothered you.
And then her text message as I'm leaving the house to run an errand with Jolie, Jana goes, all you had to say was thank you. I'm just like,
but all you had to do was say thank you.
I can't tell you how many times I picked up my phone and put it back down on my way to and from the house. But I was trying to go by her own advice and take a breath and pause, because everything I wanted to say was just childish and, you know.
But I handled it. And I handled it in a timely fashion. And I knew I got the best thing.
But then,
thank you.
Here's the kicker, though, she said when I was walking out the door. She's like,
well, it's after you already gave me attitude for it.
Because I was just like, why would you do that?
She's just
like,
say thank you.
She goes, well, I would have done it faster and better than you anyway. As I'm walking out the door. And I was just like, okay. And just walked out.
So he should thank you for you taking away an assignment you gave to him in the first place.
Okay. So, Mark, I understand.
Explain this to us.
Again, the man's timeline is very skewed. Okay. So in those 2 minutes, I was able to find the best product and order the best product. Now, that would have taken him 2 hours on the computer searching. And mind you, it wouldn't have been that day.
You asked him to research it.
Right,
you didn't
but then
say,
I
take
changed
care
my
of
mind.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
Because research implies a certain amount of effort and time.
But then I realize sometimes with Michael, his timeline is very different than my timeline. And this is what Michael would have done too, mind you. The only reason he brought it inside was because on his checklist, it was like, clean the leather chair. This would be Mike in about 3 weeks when our moving truck comes. It still wouldn't have been cleaned. And he'd have gone, you know, let's just sell it. Let's just get rid of it. That's 100% what you do, because you just don't prioritize properly.
What? Okay, I'm sorry that cleaning this couch was on the top of our priority list of all the other things that we're doing right now.
But a lot of times you'll just say, get rid of it. Like, you were about to throw away a $400 dog bed because
they
you don't want to.
All over it?
But you didn't. Take it to the damn dry cleaners, Mike. Take it to the, you know, but it's, will that get taken to the...
Oh, out of spite, we had this conversation the other day. I said, yep, I'm going to the laundromat. I'm going to sit there for 2 hours while everything washes and dries.
But in his mind, he's like, just get rid of it. And in my mind, I'm like, no, we can fix it. We can wash it. But I apologize. I just feel like sometimes, Mark, and come on, you know that the wives can do things a little bit faster.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
But so then stop asking me to do this stuff.
Right. And don't guilt trip us when you're like, I have to do everything.
No. But I was able, Mark.
Yes. I agree with Mike on that.
Guys, Dave.
I need a woman in the studio.
You had your
right
girls
now.
Week last week. This
I know.
Is guys, Dave.
Well, no, I'm just, this isn't me beating up Michael or anything like that. This is just a woman can do things faster and on a better timeline and get it done sooner. So in that moment, I wasn't being like, oh, I have one more thing I got to put on my plate. That was just something where, okay, I found something better and it's the best thing. and it arrives tomorrow,
I can't
just
tell
say
you,
thank
I
you.
I can't tell you how much I'm hoping that it's completely wrong.
What, the leather thing?
I'm hoping it's...
Leather honey,
I'm
Amazon, the number one best-selling leather
I'm
cleaner.
I'm hoping it's so wrong.
It's the thank you that bothers me.
Why?
It's like, Easton, play this out with me. Easton, I need you to go get my car washed for me. It's really dirty. I just don't have time today. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, you know what? Actually, I'll do it myself. You're welcome.
Right. Like, you took it off my plate for me.
Time. You're missing the point, Mark. It was something for him.
How is that for me?
The leather cleaner, it was your job to do that. You said you were going to clean the leather couch, so I was getting that for you. So you did the example wrong, Mark.
Okay.
Okay. So would you like to retry that?
Mind you, let me just say this. The reason I'm still wearing a jock strap a week after my vasectomy is because on Sunday, 4 days after my surgery,
I didn't ask you to do any of that.
My very intensive surgery, I
Oh, it's talk about what happened though. No,
this couch, which caused me to get
oh yeah,
black and blue.
That would hurt
on my huevos.
And Jolie kept going, is it heavy? Is it heavy, Daddy?
I'm carrying this like giant love seat chair by myself on my back like a turtle in a shell. And Jolie's just underneath my feet looking up at me. Is it heavy? Heavy, Dad? Heavy?
Mind you, though, he's like, baby, I got to take a 30-minute nap. 30 minutes. And I said, babe, go lay down. You did so much today. And you didn't even have to do any of that. Like, I was being so nice.
Yeah, because I was productive.
He
so there's
so
nothing
productive.
She could say.
Well, because I love productive Mike. I love it. It makes me so happy. So he takes a nap. And then you wake up.
Uh-huh.
And what do you see?
I don't remember.
Are you serious? The house?
Oh. Yeah, I went to go take a nap. I couldn't really sleep because I heard furniture dragging and noises clanking right outside our bedroom. I come out, our living room's completely rearranged. I mean, couches and chairs on opposite sides of the room. Play place toys are all on the opposite side.
But how good does it look?
Looks amazing.
So I did that in 30 minutes. See?
30 minutes.
But that's a great one,
I laid down
one,
for
though.
45.
That's a great one.
I mean, I just, that was, you know.
The dragging the furniture out of the bedroom door when he's napping is fantastic.
Oh, you're going to take a nap and rest up when he sounds good.
Oh, I got to do some vacuuming.
The vacuum wasn't working. I tried.
Yeah.
So I get this game. You ask him if anything's bothering him about you,
yeah,
which enables you to not only give him a new one of your own, it allows you to ridicule his thing and show him why he's wrong.
So what is your thing?
What? But hold on a second.
Well,
I'm not saying it's wrong.
I was going to say, what's your thing for him? Even though you kind of won that whole.
I didn't win anything.
You didn't win anything, but you kind of went on the offensive there.
I did go offensive.
I'm just a victim, guys.
Oh my God, here come the comments. Jen is so mean to Mike. No, we just play around a lot. But I think a lot of women
that's
agree.
Her way of justifying it.
No, I think a lot of women, that's just, again, their timelines are different than a man's timeline. And for us, it's just easier to do it ourselves.
Okay, then don't complain if you do it.
I didn't complain one
I'm
bit.
I'm just saying in general. I got to do everything.
Well, because we kind of do.
Well, so, you what, do that to yourself.
Ahead. What bothers you about Mike, or was that it?
I mean, that's one of the things. But I will say you leave, and see, mine's a lot smaller. You went real big issue, but I don't like the fact that you leave Jace's dirty diapers either in the, like you left his wet, very wet, dirty diaper this morning in his crib. Put it in the trash.
Okay, I forgot that one.
No, but then you always left him in the pack and play. So annoying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Because you've never left. I've cleaned
see,
up.
Offense.
You've
why never, can't we just?
Because you do the same thing. You never leave diapers in there?
Usually, actually, I don't.
You know what else bothers me?
Oh my God. This is not how the game. We're trying to show our listeners how we have better conversation.
We are. We're having great conversation.
Oh, jeez.
So after.
But usually, by the way, how that happens is I'll say like, hey, he's like, I don't like it when you put the steak knives in the dishwasher. And I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, babe. I'll make sure to hand wash them. And then I'll say, I don't like how you leave your shoes right there. And he just says, oh, I'm sorry, babe. I'll do better with that. That's usually how it goes. It doesn't go like this. We're showing a very terrible example of us both being very offensive.
You got this ball rolling. We're going. So after Jace eats, he should stay a little inclined. He shouldn't lay flat on his back.
So 30 minutes, okay, after I fed him this morning, I had to take a big old okay? So I needed to put him down.
Right. You can put him down in his rocker that's inclined.
Okay. All right. That bothers you. Then I'll make sure that. Well, stop burping him and having his spit up go all over the couch.
We're getting rid of that carpet underneath. Anyway.
See? We're getting rid of it.
You like act like you'd bring that into the new house?
If I got it nicely cleaned, yes.
Oh, where would you put it?
In the living room?
Oh, but wait, she wouldn't because our designers didn't say that that rug should go in the house. So if they didn't say it should, then it doesn't belong there.
Oh, boy.
This is a fun episode. This is turned good.
Wait, can someone say, like, poor Jana in this one?
How? In what way?
Okay.
Are either of you going to ask me what bothers me about the two of you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I would love to hear that.
But I have nothing that bothers me about you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That's sweet. He's I just have one little thing.
Yeah, I would love it.
We do a podcast for an hour a week. If we could get through that hour without you guys eating, that would be really pleasant for me. I really would appreciate it.
I know. I was really hungry. Yeah. I know. Trust me. I know. I'm sorry. I was...
Well, Mark, you just...
I was so hungry. I get so hungry.
Can you hear it on the mic? Like,
you can, yeah, it's a pet peeve of mine, personally. Oh, I don't know if it's the listeners notice it. They may not pick up on it at all because you're eating something that is... What, yogurt-like?
Soft, yes.
So maybe they wouldn't notice, but it's something that bothers me.
Well, we appreciate that.
We appreciate that feedback.
All right,
absolutely, and we will respect that. You guys are in here multiple hours a day, as we're in here in your home for 1 hour once a week.
Respect the workplace.
Yeah. All
right. Are we done now?
I think that's going to wrap it up.
All right, guys. That was a great show.
That was all over the place.
Yep. Bye.